Here in Daniel chapter 2 tonight, we continue through this amazing book. We won't do the whole chapter. There's too much. As you can see, it's a very long chapter. But just to give you some context, remember last week we saw how Daniel and his three friends were taken captive in the promised captivity of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And they chose not to defile themselves with the king's meat or wine. God blessed that decision. And then here in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, but he doesn't remember the dream. And he asks his wise men and astrologers and so forth to interpret the dream. And, of course, he doesn't even know what the dream is. And so, as you'll see, God gives Daniel an opportunity to pray and then be a blessing. And the dream ends up being the great image, which is basically a prophecy of the world kingdoms to follow after Babylon. And it's amazingly accurate, listing out the kingdoms and their timings and so forth. So we'll see that next week. But today we will focus on Daniel's prayer for wisdom prior to being given the interpretation. So beginning in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 2, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams wherein his spirit was troubled and his sleep a break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. There is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So we'll stop there, and we'll pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom tonight and your guidance as we look into your word. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us, and Lord, remind us how important it is that we commit all things through prayer unto thee, and always seek your wisdom. And I pray you'll be glorified. Guide us now in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we see here, kings in those days had absolute power. And Nebuchadnezzar was prepared to kill every single wise man in his entire kingdom. And it would have happened if Daniel had not stepped in and said, with God's help, I will do it. Now, Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew that God is the God of heaven, and that if he would pray, that he would trust God to work it out the way he wanted to. And so, sure enough, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And so remember, he went and asked his three companions to pray with him and to desire mercies of the God of heaven. We saw last week how he purposed in his heart that he would not disobey God's commands for Jews. And this week we see how he has now committed something so big unto the Lord, believing that prayer is the answer. Amen. And so we see tonight that Daniel will praise God, and that's what we're going to focus on in the remainder of this first part of the chapter. So verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now this, remember, is Daniel's prayer of praise and worship. He's already been given the answer. God's already answered their prayer. They prayed, the four of them prayed and trusted it to God. Lord, if you don't do this, every wise man, including the four of us, are going to be slain by the king's soldiers. They prayed, and during the night, God gave Daniel the dream and its interpretation. And he's now spending time with God to praise him. What a great lesson that we need to do the same. And so we can learn a lot from Daniel's, if you will, prayer, example prayer here tonight. And we see that he starts off with praise. That's a good place to start when we pray, isn't it? With praise. When Jesus gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn there, Jesus told us the same thing, that when we pray, and by the way, he did not tell us to pray these exact words over and over, because he told us not to pray vain repetitions. But what he's giving us is a model prayer in this Matthew chapter 6. And in his model prayer, notice verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice the prayer here, then the model prayer from Jesus himself and his lesson on prayer is start off the prayer with praise, with worship. How often do we just dive in and start asking for things and not stop to take the time to first worship and praise God? Daniel here is starting off his prayer by blessing the God of heaven. And we should do the same. Commit it unto the Lord with praise and worship prior to asking for things. And so he said there in our passage, blessed be the God of heaven. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. We actually sing a hymn from this verse, don't we? Blessed be the name. That comes from this verse. Blessed be the name of the God of heaven forever and ever. Go to Psalm 113, verse 2, and we'll see that even David understood this great truth, that our prayer needs to start with praise. And remember, Daniel is not asking for the interpretation. They've already done that. But he's now taking the time to spend time to worship and thank and praise God for answering his other prayer. Sometimes when God answers prayer, we're blessed that he answered the prayer, but we need to stop and thank him for answering the prayer. Notice in Psalm 113, verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Look at Psalm 115 and verse 18. It says, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. If you need more praise in your heart, spend more time in the Psalms. Because that's what the Psalms are all about, is praising the Lord. But we see that even Daniel in giving us, in God in giving us Daniel's prayer to teach us, stops and says, I'm just going to praise God. One more, Psalm 145 and verses 1 and 2. David said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. Isn't that good? Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That's beautiful. Every day will I bless thee. David said, seven times a day do I praise thee. Remember, we saw that in Psalm 119 this morning. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. We need to spend more time praising and worshiping him and not just asking for things. And even that verse that we often use, Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Anybody know the next two words? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let's not forget the thanksgiving part, the thankful part, the praise part, the worship part. So Daniel begins his prayer, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Then in verse 20 of our passage, he stops and exalts God for who he is. He says, for wisdom and might are his. In one little phrase, he touches on the omniscience and the omnipotence of God. This is what we do in worship. We exalt God for who he is. And again, if you go back to Matthew 6 again, model prayer from Jesus, he reminded us, start the prayer with, hallowed be thy name, worshiping God. But then Jesus reminds us to exalt God for his character. Notice at the end of the model prayer, verse 13, at the end of the verse, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is Jesus Christ teaching us about prayer. He says, when you pray, hallowed be thy name, worship the Lord. And when you pray, be sure to exalt God for who he is. And Daniel's doing that. Blessed be the name of God. And then he says, for wisdom and might are his. David did a similar thing in Psalm 147, if you want to turn there. I think we might have looked at 147 already. No, we did. We looked at 145. But notice Psalm 147 this time and verse 5. David said, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Look, David did the exact same thing in this verse that Daniel did. He's exalting God for his omnipotence and his omniscience, that he's all powerful and that he's all knowing. Daniel did the same thing. Wisdom and might are his. He knows everything and he's all powerful. This is all part of worshiping the Lord. He's exalting him for his character, for who he is. So he exalts him for his omniscience, his omnipotence. Back to our passage, verse 21. He changeth the time and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Our God is sovereign. Let us never forget that God is in control of his creation. There are no accidents or mistakes or surprises with God, because he knows everything, but he also is involved in everything. Now, God did give us a free will, hallelujah, but God also is in control. He allows things to happen. He stops things from happening. We're going to get to heaven and be absolutely amazed at how many times God protected us from harm, how many times he watched over us, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and so forth. So Daniel now has said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and might are his, and he's in control. He removes kings, and he sets up kings. He's in complete control of who the kings who the king is. He said in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God's in control, and his sovereignty is absolute. So let's look at Isaiah 14:24, and we'll see this. But God is a all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign God. You know, a lot of people have this impression that God is very passive about the world and about what's happening in the world and about life in general, that he kind of just sits back and just lets everything happen the way it's going to happen, and he doesn't really get involved. But the Bible does not say that at all. The Bible says the exact opposite, that we should pray about every little thing, and that God even knows how many hairs are on our head, and that God even watches out for the sparrows. But notice Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. God is 100% sovereign over his creation. And so Daniel's saying, blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever. Wisdom and might are his, and he removeth kings and setteth up kings. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is sovereign. Verse 21 of our passage, Daniel chapter 2. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Acknowledging that really the counsel that we always need to be seeking is God's counsel. And of course, the equivalent of that in James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberty and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God gives wisdom to those that ask. And that's exactly what Daniel is saying. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And then verse 22, he revealeth the deep and the secret things. So Daniel's already touched on his omnipresence. Did I say omniscience earlier? Yes, I'm sorry. His omniscience and his omnipotence. Now he's touching on his omnipresence. So he, in one little prayer, he's exalting God for all of the omnis, if you will. That God, it says, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God's everywhere. Knows everything and can do anything. That is the God of the Bible. Jeremiah 23:24, quickly if you would. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? This is God speaking about himself. Do not I fill heaven and earth? I'm everywhere. And David acknowledged it too, Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. He says, God's everywhere. You can't run from God. So God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is sovereign. And God is the one that possesses all wisdom. And if we need wisdom, he's the only one to seek it from. And in this couple of verses, Daniel exalts the God of heaven. He's thanking him for answering his prayer. Notice verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee. Isn't that good? That's our title tonight, by the way. I thank thee and praise thee. We need to do more of both of those things in our prayer time. Thanking God for who he is, what he's done, and praising God for who he is and what he's done. He says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. Next week, we get to see the answer to that prayer. The number one most well-known vision in the Bible is Nebuchadnezzar's dream that actually lays out world history. from that time until Jesus comes. You've all heard about the image with the clay feet and the head of gold and so forth. You'll see that next week and what it all means and the dates and everything. But today I just wanted to focus on how Daniel responded. He simply said to his prison mates, "Pray with me. If God doesn't answer our prayer, we're all dead." And God answered the prayer and gave him the dream and its interpretation. And he just stopped and said, "I need to praise God. And I need to thank God. And I need to exalt God." And that's something all of us need to do more of. Just praise Him and worship Him and thank Him. Not just ask Him for things, which is part of praying, but to worship Him. He says, "I thank Thee and I praise Thee." Let's pray.